to sit back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
The Vault of Startling Monster Horror Tales of Terror!
Hello, my fellow amateur taxidermists. Tonight, out of fairness, we are going back to 1960 for an all-time classic. Since we've already watched two Osgood Perkins movies, it's only fair that we do one of his pappy's movies. And by do, I mean watch. We were all set to do The Black Hole, but I accidentally put my Blu-ray of it through the washer and dryer a couple of times, so I guess we're gonna have to settle for Tony's second most popular role. The greatest mama's boy since Oedipus, Norman Bates. So, sit back as we dim the lights and shower Psycho with love and blood.
Hello everyone and welcome to the Vault of Startling Monster Horror Tales of Terror. I am your co-host this evening, Mr. Luke Giaconetti. I would like to thank everyone for downloading and listening to us tonight as we are coming to you live via podcast from the palatial DiMonzo Lake House here. Okay. We got everybody out here. We took a ferry. Some shit went a little bad in the ferry, but that's okay. Right. And it's spring break! And if we're not going to get rowdy during spring break, when are we going to get rowdy? And who's getting rowdy with me? Well, you heard him there. It's my brother, Mr. Jason Giaconetti.
On a clear day, you can see the Kennedys.
They got that miniseries about John F. Kennedy Jr. It's like, hey, I think I know how it ends. Just saying.
It'll blow.
You heard him there.
No, Kennedy Jr., not John F. Kennedy. Oh.
Yeah, Kennedy Jr.
That blah, will blah, crash blah, and blah, burn. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Excuse blood, me blood, while blood. I crash the party. Launchpad McQuack, notwithstanding, you heard him there too soon. I have a story to tell about that, actually, in all seriousness. You heard him there, the hair metal hero, Chris Tyler.
He caught me off guard. Hey, guy, your fly is open and your hostess Twinkie is hanging out.
It was a golden age of fly down jokes in the 80s. Mm. And we couldn't do this without the senior member of the whole crew, right? 223 OG Chris Honeywell.
Norman, is that you? Are you down there with that slut?
Oh shit, wrong movie. April Fools. Now, I only say that, I only do this because, God damn it, for the first time, Jason swiped my quote, on a clear day you can see the Kennedys quote. I thought I was so safe with that quote that I did not get a backup quote. Like, I usually get like two backup quotes. I'm like, oh no.
Me too.
No, they're all going to go for the hot dog choice. Quotes. Yeah, they're all going to go
next
for...
One, the obvious one was, Muffy hasn't been in an institution for 3 years. She's been a Vassar.
That was my backup. Because Vassar's not too far from here.
I have had enough of your Vassar bashing.
Well,
lady.
Here's... I had a scary moment during this because I had an ex-girlfriend who was psycho, right? And she used to call her breasts Muffy and Buffy. So I used to have conversations with Muffy and Buffy, and she generally looked like Muffy in this, and she was a rich girl with a cabin in the woods, and I'm watching this, I'm like, oh my God, did she watch this movie? And that's how her breasts got the name because this is like her life story.
When it was go time, did you have to address them by name?
Yes, I did. I did, and they were jealous of each other, So you had to make sure that you paid attention to both of them.
But you get two hands in the mouth. So
otherwise, you got a knife in the side of your head. A scimitar.
Oh, it was that bad. Okay, well, yeah, if the knife is coming out, then yes, you call them whatever she wants. Until you get the fuck out of there. Okay.
But I was watching this movie, just having a little flashback.
You know, I'm reminded of that sketch from Almost Live, right? It's like, so why did you stay with her after she assaulted you, took all your money, and then burned your car? Well, the sex was really good, you know. So, yeah.
Hey, my dream girl would have been what's her? She has. Why can't I remember the name of my true love right now? She like burned down the house, burning her boyfriend's clothes in the
left eye.
Yes, left eye. Lisa Lopez.
Oh, TLC reference for the month.
Oh,
I didn't know where we were going with this. I don't know, bro.
I would have married that girl. I've never met her.
She shouldn't have been a scrub, man.
That was. Oh no!
She ain't chasing the waterfalls either. So,
That's actually Dolly Parton. That song's Dolly Parton.
Chasing waterfalls.
Yep, Dolly Parton wrote that song.
But,
no. Yeah, yes, she did. She wrote it. She also wrote, you know, I Will Always Love You, right?
Yes.
Which is like in my, there's an alternate universe where there's a version of The Bodyguard that stars her and Burt Reynolds, which is like a million times better.
Oh, hell yeah.
The 70s? Yeah.
Hell yeah.
There's an alternate universe. That would have
been fucking awesome.
just for Burt Reynolds chewing gum, like, yeah, let's do this.
He's trying to tell you. Yeah, we're going to get it.
Yeah.
That's right up there with Jay's version of A Star Is Born, where she's slowly poisoning him.
Oh my God, that would have fixed that movie so well. Oh, the end of the movie, all she had lean into it, Bradley Cooper, I've been poisoning you the whole time. And I would have been like, oh, give her the fucking Academy Award, because that would have been the best thing.
I like that a lot.
So speaking of twist endings, let's get to our movie tonight. We are... It's a twist, Jay. It's your luck. What a twist!
What a twist!
We are set north. What a twist! He's been waiting all month to say that, folks. He literally has been. Yeah. So set your way back machine to 1986. 40 freaking years ago, and you know, 40 years ago. For Christ's sakes, we accepted April Fool's Day. A little bit behind the curtain here, okay? So I'm going to hold up to the microphone. This is my podcasting notebook, okay? And I've had the same notebook. This notebook is not the original one. This one only dates to, let's see, the first movie in here is Tales from the Hood and then Noe. It's been a number of years this notebook has been running. I have in the front page of this notebook, I have a sticky note with the original list of the movies for the horror rack hangers-on, right? So right down the list starts with the originals, right? Sleepaway Camp, Chopping Mall, Slaughter High, Dolls, Night of the Demons, Ghoulies, Happy Birthday to Me, all movies we've done. Right after them, April Fool's Day. It's been on this list for a long time, okay? For a long time, because this one is in many ways, I always say, like, Sleepaway Camp was the perfect horror rack hanger on. In many ways, April Fool's Day is another perfect horror rack hanger on, because it has lived rent-free in my head for 40 years, okay? And until the preparation for this podcast, I had not seen this movie. But I knew this movie, and I knew the twist ending, and I knew everything about it. Because I remember this VHS cover, which I'm looking at right here on VHSCollector.com, which I use a lot on this show. It's from Paramount Home Video, which is appropriate. This is from the Paramount film, right? And it is the cover everybody knows, with you've got all the cast of these college, the shenanigang, right? You know, all these college goofballs. And then Muffy, our hostess. Her back is to the viewer. She's holding up a glass of champagne. She has a knife in her
left hand behind her back, and her long hair is tied into a noose. Nothing even remotely like the noose happens in this movie, just FYI. But
lies.
That image, yeah, I know, right? Seriously, but that image, I mean, Ghoulies, you know,
they put it in the movie.
Thing is in the toilet. They made that scene and put it in the movie. But anyway, yeah, that's yeah. not the point.
There is a noose, technically, but yeah.
Yes, there is a noose right at the end, but it's not with her hair. But that image has stuck with me since I was like probably 6 years old when this tape came out, right? So it is in many ways in very indicative of why we do the VHS Horror Rec Hanger On, is that it was a different era when all you had to sell your movie might be that title and that VHS box, right? Some of you younger guys, think of like a smaller, younger folks, I should say, think of a smaller DVD case, right? That's all you got to sell your movie to somebody. And April Fool's Day is kind of perfect like that. It tells you a title and it gives you the image and you say, oh, it's a horror movie. It looks like a slasher movie. Yeah. And then you read the description and it's about, oh, Muffy St. John invited her college friends to her parents' secluded island. She forgot to tell them it would be the last time of their lives. Right. Yeah. It's like, oh, it's from the guy, from the producer of Friday the 13th, part 2, 3, 4, and 5. It's like, well, fuck, what could go wrong with this?
It's named after a holiday technically a holiday, but you know, a day.
April Fool's Day is a day that once celebrates.
Yeah, we've had
there are three different April Fool's Day movies made all together. Because we had this Killer Party, Slaughter High, and April Fool's Day. Those are the three April Fool's Day ones from the 80s.
Right.
Shame that this is the least of those.
Now,
yes.
Well, I will say this. Okay, so we covered Slaughter High. So if you go back to the archives, you can hear our thoughts about Slaughter High. I want to say we covered that in 2019. Like right before COVID, I want to say we covered Slaughter High.
Sounds about right.
Now, Killer Party is kind of a different animal. And it's funny that you say April Fool's Day and Killer Party, because both of them, I think it's fair to say that both are in their own way a satire. Killer Party is a broad sort of spoof, right? And I love Killer Party, okay? That was one I literally did rent on VHS, and we will cover at some point. I did rent that on VHS from the movies in Clemson, South Carolina. But April Fool's Day is a little bit more of a subtle satire, I think, and it's odd because this movie doesn't seem to elicit a lot of middle-of-the-road reactions. People either really like this movie or really dislike this movie. It's hard to find someone who's kind of middle of the road on it.
Yeah, that's not me. I'm not in the middle of the road. I didn't like it. I found it to be, like, but I didn't, in the idea of it, I had no problem with. I just thought the direction, the script, and the cast didn't. I mean, I was rooting for all these guys to die from second one, every single one of them.
Right.
But they just weren't like literally all the guys were sort of like, just sort of like this, just variations on Kevin Bacon. They were different flavors of Kevin Bacon roles that he played in the past, and all the girls were pretty much, you had to go by their hair color and some slight personality change, slight personality differences to set them apart. Same with the guys, really. All the guys were like weird pervy creepers.
They're all just creeps.
And the actors were all doing their 30-year-olds acting like college students, like be like obnoxious college students, and it comes off as a little bitter and like hateful. Like because when you're 30 years old and you think about yourself like when you're like 19, 20, you're like, God, I was an idiot. So that's how you can always spot the 30-year-old actors who are just like, we're gonna act like the most obnoxious asshole. And they were all little obnoxious rich kids, so it tracks. But like the whole
essentially, I mean that to me that's a good point, right? I mean there's a scene where Biff Tannen says that, right? Is that they're all privileged and it is, I love that. As an aside, I said this on the chat, but I'll say this to the for the listeners too, right? So Thomas F. Wilson is in this. That's Biff Tannen, and you all, everybody who's listening to this show has seen Back to the Future a million times and knows Biff Tannen.
Yeah, well, you can't miss him either. You can't miss that puss,
man. Because as soon as you see it, you're like, holy shit, is that Biff Tannen? And you're like, it is Biff Tannen. But I was amused. It is apropos of nothing, but at the beginning of the film, they're getting on the ferry boat. The ferry boat is named Lorraine. Okay? I'm not saying this is all part of the timeline, but I'm just saying it's like,
right.
if Marty and Doc Brown popped in here, I wouldn't be surprised. So. Lorraine! You never hear that name anymore, right?
That's my mother's name.
I got not.
Right, that's Lorraine. What I mean. That's the right generation, right?
Right,
you don't
right.
hear it now, right?
It's no.
Like all, you know, a lot of the old names came back. Lorraine has not come back yet. Just like when my wife and I, when I got pregnant with our first son, we told my parents we were going to name him Shlomo.
Oh, my God. What a great name Shlomo is. Come on, man.
Except the kid would be stuck with the name Shlomo. So.
Shlomo. No, do you know how much I would have treasured being named Shlomo as a kid? I would have loved it. I would have talked slow just to be an asshole. I would have been just like, hello?
Yeah, wait, you're not one now?
Billy Crystal tells a story.
I could
Billy
talk
Crystal
slower.
Billy Crystal tells a story. He had a friend named Shlomo who wrote a letter to Mickey Mantle. He always imagined Mickey Mantle writing back, Dear Shlomo.
Chewy. The Mexican spelling of Chewy, that's pronounced Chewy.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my God. Like, if I had the money, I would be like probably just changing my name from Shlomo to Chewy, back and forth.
Chewy, but back and forth. But that okay. So, but you're right though. He has the whole. He has a statement where he says we're all, you know, the privileged, you know, elite, and none of us have any idea what we're doing with ourselves. So it is really. It's a bunch of. Kind of obnoxious, not even kind of obnoxious college kids, and you kind of want them to die, right?
Yeah.
And it's like there is a reading because I tend to fall more the same way you are, Chris. And it's like, God, if we had just done a little bit more work with these characters, I might have cared. But at the same time, I can also kind of see where it's like, oh, well, that's the satirical portion that Danilo Bach, who is the screenwriter credited, is going for, is that they are obnoxious and unlikable because they're characters in a slasher movie.
You just have to make a couple of them slightly less unlikable to give it a little grist where you're actually, you want to be worried about a couple of them a little bit while the rest of them you're rooting for them to get killed and stuff. But it just the script kind of failed it because it got its idea.
Yeah.
You can put it together at the end and see how, you know, as they killed each person, they brought them in on the conspiracy and stuff like that. But it's not tight enough. Like I would if you would have taken this movie and just gone in a completely different world with it and say, this is coming out of nowhere, got Frank Oz to direct it, you know, who did like Dirty Rotten Scoundrels and put the amount of thought into the, you know, twists and double crosses of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels to where you know, because it establishes, and this is also something like rich frat kids love pulling pranks on each other and everybody has layers upon layers of pranks. And so, you know, that all of them are holding back on their stuff and all that. And you could have manipulated that more. They just sort of set it up. And then it was like, okay, we're just going to have everybody killed off. And then the reveal at the end. And, you know, but they could have, they needed to sprinkle some more intrigue and stuff in there. And it could, I mean, this movie could have been funnier. It would have been a lot more entertaining if it was funnier, because otherwise it's sort of like a bland slasher. You know, it's not gory, or the kills aren't gory or like squirmy enough to give it that edge to it. And the character, it isn't different enough from another slasher movie or like a high quality. It's just sort of a rote slasher movie and using the twist to make it different. But you have to sit through a rote horror movie that you've seen a million times before. That doesn't have any of the like, it doesn't have a lot of this like the bloody deaths or like better characters to get through. So you just have to sit through it and then get to the end and stuff. And then they even cheated out on the double cross ending to it because, and I like they set that up pretty well of like, aha, everybody's funny in the joke. And the one girl who had the baby on the tape is sitting in the corner just like, yeah, fuck all of you. And I would have been like, oh, it'd be great if she just pulls out a hand grenade and goes, yeah, fuck all of you. The end. But, and then the idea of, this was what made me just go, okay, fuck it, I'm done trying to give this movie a chance, is when she's like, what we really were doing is I had to do this to get my inheritance because I had to prove that we could make money here and that I would do this, you know, have people pay. A, if you have people pay to come in and have that happen at the island, they already know what's happening. You know, so it's done. And you cannot tell me if you did like something where you brought people to the island as a bed and breakfast and then put them through that somebody wouldn't whip out a real knife and, you know, kill somebody that works there accidentally. It's just waiting for a lawsuit. And I'm like, this is the dumbest concept ever. And it's not needed to. All that's needed is, you know, she pulled the ultimate prank. That's all that we needed there. She won. She outfoxed everybody else and got everybody else suckered into it because they were all trying to sucker each other. That would have been sufficient enough at the end. That whole part of like, we're gonna have this is gonna be a business. It's just like, oh. No.
Well, you know, so it's kind of like what was that movie with Michael Douglas, The Game?
Yes.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. I watched The Game. I stood up. I said, "This is just April Fool's Day." I walked out of that theater. Right? But it's like, you know, it's another one that it's like it's one of those movie logic things where it's like, oh, okay, yeah. And then exactly, you're like, no, that doesn't work. You can't do that. It's like the Westworld fallacy, right? At some point, somebody's going to think somebody is a robot in Westworld and they're going to kill them.
Yep, yep.
Or if they're in the robot world, they're going to do something else.
Or
to
worse.
Them, right?
Yeah. The difference is, though,
in Westworld, they never get a chance to because the fucking things go haywire and they kill everybody anyway.
Yeah.
I just picked up my Arrow release of the 4K of Westworld.
It's funny anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. No, okay. So I just want to say this. So as somebody who has espoused for years that I do not like this movie, although I do own it on 4K because as part of our discussion we had in the thing, to buy two movies was going to cost me more than buying three movies with this. There was a deal and there was a sale and you had to buy three movies from a list and things. It actually worked out to be cheaper to buy three movies, and that was one of them, than buying the two movies I wanted in this one. So I was like, oh, we're going to watch it anyway. So anyway, that aside, what the DVD, Blu-ray, 4K, nothing, what it does not include was the originally filmed ending, which was that the original script that after Muffy reveals the whole weekend's a setup, the guests all leave except for Rob, Kit, Chaz, and Nikki, who sneak back to the house to try to prank Muffy. But then Skip cracks and attempts to kill Muffy in a jealous rage. Rob jumps in, saves, killing Skip in the process. And they actually film, that was one they were going with. The other was that Skip tries to, whatever. The whole idea is that Skip tries to kill her and they all yell out, oh, we pranked you. And it's like, I none of those endings are good. But if they put them on there, I at least felt they got something out of it.
Yeah, that would have been interesting.
The problem is Jeff Rovin's novelization was based on the fucking screenplay. So guess what his fucking novelization's got? It's got all that shit in it. And then the problem is there's scenes on the back cover of the novelization or inside the cover that have those scenes in it. So we don't even have the, like, I know you're saying, Jay, you don't like the movie. I know, but I'm a completist, and I really like having all of it.
Honestly, I want the novelization now because I love novelizations that straight. Like there was Disney's Watcher in the Woods did that, where they had an ending for it, and they wrote the novelization. It was too late. They screen tested it, said this ending isn't going to work, and did a different ending. And I read the book before I saw the movie because I was a little nerd kid, and I got it through Scholastic, and I was like, oh, what a weird ending. And then saw the movie and was like, wait. Where's the psychedelic part?
I don't know how available the book is because I've never seen it. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. I'm just saying it's just, I've never seen it anywhere.
It's,
because it's not exactly one of the ones people are like, ooh.
It probably is one of the ones that it's sought after for that reason.
But it's not one that it's on their list of books they want to find. At least not publicly.
Sure there's collectors of, you know, I mean.
Yes, there's always collectors because people are weird.
And the collectors are, and probably they didn't print a lot of them. So probably the collectors are making that like a $60 book on eBay. But what I was going
to
say
I don't mean to interrupt you, but yeah, the Jeff Rovins April Fool's Day first print by Pocket, $149 on eBay.
Yeah, right? God damn it. I'll be looking for it at garage sales now.
If you get the one, the UK one, which is from Corgi and has a green cover instead of a purple cover, that's $80 plus $15 shipping. A steal at twice the price. Jeff Rovin, as an aside, did not only novels and did some comic work. I want to say he wrote some stuff for Alex Seaboard, wrote one of my favorite coffee table books of all time, The Encyclopedia of Monsters.
Yes.
That's a great book.
For years and years. Yeah, and years. I love that book. I don't know where the hell my copy is. I assume it's in my parents' house somewhere.
My list of insurance stuff. That's like a foundational book.
Yeah.
I'm actually but what I was going to say about the game is when I saw the game, I'm a big Fincher fan, and I think that's like one of his lesser movies, and I saw the game and I'm like, that was okay, but Penn and Teller Get Killed did it better. Highly recommend Penn and Teller Get Killed. Idea, but it was a lot more fun than the game.
Well, the problem with the game, I think, is kind of the problem with this movie, right? Is that by the time I saw the game, I think even then, just watching it, it seemed obvious.
Yeah.
Right? This at least has the trappings of being really, really cheap slasher movie, so they can't afford to show you stuff. Whereas the game was a big budget movie, so it's like, well, of course, it's called The Game. Of course, this is all just a big setup, right? You know, the twist is going to be if he kills somebody he's not supposed to or something, right? But, it's fine. Michael Douglas, what are you going to do, right? So, I'm kind of with you. It's like, I get what they were going with this, and I wanted to like this more than I did. But it's like, this didn't really do it for me, right? I think even if you give it, I hate comparing movies to other movies, but you kind of opened the door here, Chris, when you said make some of the characters a little bit more personable and likable. It's kind of like Sleepaway Camp, right? None of the characters in Sleepaway Camp are all that great, but some of them are a bit more relatable, and thus we feel a little bit more for them, right?
And there's
nobody really like that.
There's different kinds of characters. This one, there's just two different kinds of characters, basically, and they're like the male characters and the female characters, and they're just slight variations on that. In Sleepaway Camp, you had the cook, you know, and different counselors, and everybody was, you know, their own little quirky, creepy self, and you know, you always got to have a few creeps around to be the first red herring and stuff like this. And you know, the closest they got to this of having and those two characters were actually very interesting, never really got used, were the ferryman and the sheriff guy. They weren't super interesting versions of what they were. The one guy, you know, being the like, you know, the old guy who's sort of the, like, you know, warning sign of danger ahead, you know, going out to the old blah 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 house, and then the sheriff who's either going to be competent or is just going to come out and get shot in the head immediately. But they just sort of are there for the minimum amount of time that they're useful to the story. And they're just more interesting just because there's something different, you know. That I mean, like, we could have had an old house, like an old couple that were the housekeepers there that like, because when you have a place like that out on an island like that and you're a rich family, you gotta have some local couple that go out there and make sure the water doesn't freeze in the pipes and you know, right. And it does, and the mice don't get out of control, and keep everything, and keep the stock up the refrigerator when the families come in and stuff like that. There's all sorts of things you could have added to this, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, though, is all that aside, all that stuff that you could add it, whatever kind of thing, I don't think that's what's slowing this movie down from being. That's not why people don't like this movie. Okay, I mean, let's just call it spade a spade. The reason they don't like this movie is because it's a cheat. It's a fucking cheat at the end. And I'm gonna say this because having watched all the In Search of Darkness, the ones about the 80s again, when they talk about April Fool's Day, they say, no, that's not a cheat. Like they tell you, they signpost that this is going to be an April Fool's prank. They tell you it up front. And I'm like, I get that. I do. I 100% do. And I get it. The kills occur off screen. So you never see something. I get it. I do. But I also know that, like, when she's trying to hit her with the knife, like, the knife she's trying, at the end, when Muffy's trying to stab her, right, and there's, that knife is not the same knife that she then pretends to push in
right,
and out.
Right. She's chopping through stuff with it.
Right, like, that's what I'm saying. Like, I would have no problem if, like, the deaths look cheesy, like, oh no, like my face, like yeah. if you cannot have, like, the quote unquote special effects artist, the makeups he does are too good for them to be the fake. It should look fucking fake. That's what I'm saying. Is like, so if that was like, wow, that fucking looks weird. Like things like
no,
that.
Yeah,
like,
no, their severed heads were pretty good. Severed heads. Those were some nice severed heads.
So,
yeah.
So if they're doing all that work, no. But I'm saying is, but like the whole idea is that like, they're doing all this other stuff because he's making severed heads. Like, it just takes too long to make them. He would have to have done life. He would have to take castings from their faces.
Oh, he said I just doctored up some ones that I was using to look exactly like Biff Tannen. Like, it looks exactly like Biff Tannen. You can't, you don't just have those lips hanging around on a severed head.
That's probably what winds up bothering me more than anything else. Knowing how long it takes to make special effects props and how to do that, like, the makeup, that just what bothers me more than anything else, probably. I mean, okay. Had the end of the movie been okay, yeah, it's April Fool's, and then the other, like you said, the other one, the girl who they about supposedly she was pregnant, or whatever. If she actually killed her at the end, and that's how it ends, like they're all gone. She's like, oh, I'm here, and she just goes crazy and kills her, and no one ever catches her. I think I might have had a better feeling at the end. It's just the problem.
Yes,
and
it would have been satisfying because
something
okay. April Fool's Day, just in general, is a cheat. When you get April fooled, you're just like, okay, yeah, thanks, guy. That's the feeling you have. It's not a feeling of elation of just like, I just got April Fool's pranked. It's like, oh, Jesus. Yeah, okay. Fuck you. And that's not... I mean, that's where the movie's going. It's authentic in that way of just like when they come in and everybody's sitting there like, and you know, the two characters are just like, what? Oh, fuck you. And okay, but that's not a satisfying movie experience. One of them at the end slicing Muffy's throat saying, you know what? That abortion thing was not funny. And guess what? Yeah. Now I'm psycho. It would have been dumb, but it would have been satisfying. It would have been at least we got one corpse out of this slasher, you know, at least one person died in the slasher movie. they denied the audience that thing. And if you're going to deny the audience the ending that they're expecting, you have to do it. You know, you have to be, that's like the job of a really good filmmaker. Yeah. You know, if you're going to get it to work and people to go, accept it and enjoy it, you have to really put some effort into it. And this was just like, oh, you know, I watched it and I'm looking at the filmmakers going, oh, you bastards. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I knew this was coming. But this is like the way they present it is just kind of like, all right, you know.
And
it doesn't go anywhere from after that. You have a chance after that to redeem it and pay off and send you out of the movie theater going, okay, that had some sort of kick to it. It craps out on every single, you know, bit of bite that it has.
The problem, and this is, I have heard for years now that people have said, you know, that's not a cheat. The real cheat's like Hot Tenshan. And I'm like, okay. Like, and if you haven't seen Hot Tenshan, fuck have you been? Because Jesus Christ, like that movie's like 20 years old, right?
God,
the whole thing is, I love Hot Tenshan.
It's a good
movie. The thing is, like, everyone's like, oh, well, the there's no way that girl could do this. There's nothing in Hot Tenshan that requires the person to be male or this big hulking guy. There's nothing that occurs in that movie that when you think about what happens, your mind is telling you it's a big hulking guy doing this or whatever. You could slaughter people in their sleep. It doesn't have to be a big hulking guy to do it. She's a psychopath. That's the whole point, right? That she's nuts. That's the whole point of the movie, that she's insane, right? And they're like, well, but what you're seeing is, obviously, I forgot the guy's name, the actor's name, but he's a big dude, right? Your whole point is like, but it makes you like, okay, you're worried about whatever. You never see them together. Like, you never see them together. Like, the whole point is, it's what's in her head. She's insane.
Right.
Right. So she's doing these things. Right. But people don't want to see that. They just want to say, like, well, it's a bait and switch. But it's not, though, because they show you the footage of her doing all this shit. You're like, okay, yeah, that chick's fucking nuts. And she would fucking kill the clerk and kill this thing. And but here, all of it's, oh, it's all, oh, it's, you know, like, it's, I don't know.
It's
don't
a
know.
Skill level. Hot Tension has a great script. It has great acting. It has great. I mean, like,
I think we're talking about the difference, though, is too the level. And I don't mean this to be insulting to the director here, but considering that the director for this was literally, they were like, well, we want him to make the Halloween, the Curse of Michael Myers. That's what he was, the guy they originally tabbed for that, and then he said no, which makes you wonder. You know, what is it, Fred Walton? What's his name? I think it's Fred Walton.
Fred Walton.
Yeah, sorry. But I think that's the difference between Alexandra Aja, like, kind of thing as a director. I mean, whether you like Aja or not, I do, you know, kind of thing. He can see that he'll put things together, and depending on your cinematographer and all of that. If they had paid it off, I think we would have a better feeling. What this did by this movie taking all the kills off screen, by, as Luke said, softening up the sex scenes, kind of thing, making them very soft and stuff like that. This became a staple of late night. Let's put on a horror movie. This is the slasher movie they could put on without editing it.
They just had to edit out the sex stuff, which doesn't
very
change
little.
The story at all. They just have to dub over a couple lines and take out the. I like the porno magazine shot where it's supposed to have a wide open beaver and the guy's supposed to be blocking it with his fingers, but they didn't fit. They didn't take the take right, so you could see the black dot over the thing, and I'm like, that black dot wasn't supposed to be in there. You're just supposed to see his finger.
But I'm saying is, so they were able to show this movie. So there's a lot of people who of a certain age, depending on what you're watching, like, this is a perfect. And I'm not saying it was on this, but this is very much like, you know, the up all night and stuff like that. When
up
they would show, like,
this could play to an eight. This could play really well to an 8 year old who hasn't seen many horror movies. Like, an 8 year old who saw it could be like, whoa, the twist, you know? But
yeah, well, Well, what I'm saying, but like on those shows where they would show like the, you know, the, like the horror and the slasher and the whatever, those kind of like Rhonda Shear and Gilbert Godfrey and stuff, putting those things on like that. And I'm not saying it's playing on Saturday afternoons, but this plays in those slot time slots, in the late night time slots. It's an easy sell. I'm sure the producers of this were like, yes, put it on TV as much as possible. Let's get people to see this thing. But, but the problem is that it is, and I honestly, and I'm not saying they don't exist, I just have never met anybody who thinks that this is like, this is one of their favorite, I'm not saying their favorite, but one of their favorite movies. I've never met anybody in that boat. Yeah. I'm not saying they don't exist. I'm not saying they're not people who are true horror aficionados who love this, because I'm sure there are. I just don't know them. And I've never spoken with them.
And I don't want to.
Well, no, but here's the thing is, and this is the thing, right? Obviously, we would have a differing opinion, but it doesn't mean we have, like, just because we don't agree on this doesn't mean we can't agree on other things. Part of the problem is that, and I've said this before, is that people want to live in these absolutes. You either are 100% with me or 100% against me. That's not where the reality of life needs to be. Someone might think this is great. Like really enjoys this movie. I don't know why they do, and I would love to hear why. Yeah. But by the same token, like, you guys remember Terror Train?
Yeah.
Right? Where they prank the nerdy kid and he gets wrapped up and he's like basically hangs himself. They put a corpse in the bed. It's fucking crazy, right? The whole time when you're watching, you're like, oh, like they're leading us to believe that David Copperfield is the kid. It's like, no. It's the chick next to him who's clearly a guy, but you're not supposed to know it's a guy, but it looks just like the fucking guy. So you're like, maybe it's twin sister, maybe whatever. But the whole idea is that movie, there are kills that are happening on screen. Nothing's a fake. Even though there's a twist that it's turned out to be the guy they whatever may prank, it's okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not, I don't know. I don't know, man. I think that's the difference though between there's a documentary about slasher movies, and it's literally not Slasher Trash, which is still coming out, which we talked to the director and the Michael Gingell was on talking about that. I just blanked on the name of it. And it's called the Rise of the Slasher. And it's literally about slasher movies. And they talk about how when they made Graduation Day, when they made this movie, like one of them, Graduation Day, they literally timed out the kills. And that's the whole idea that, like, just like in porn, slasher movies, you have to have kills every so many minutes. You have to have things have to happen, you know, whatever kind of thing. There's all the science behind it, right? But when you look at the science behind it, that's not what makes the movies great or memorable or whatever. It's not that there's a kill every 7.5 minutes or there's a whatever. That might be true, but it's the other stuff that goes along with it. And it's also, maybe if I had never seen like all these horror movies and slash movies and stuff, and this was like one of the first ones I ever saw, maybe I might like it more, but I just don't know.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I would truly love to hear from somebody who like literally thinks this movie is outstanding and loves this movie.
If it had just one thing, if it had like one scene that was like over the top and crazy that gets you or something, you know, just something to grab onto, but nothing, the only thing about it that's novel is the ending. And that's very unsatisfying. That's like the most unsatisfying part of the whole thing. So it's like, you know, what are you going
to
do?
Luke mentioned Sleepaway Camp before, right? Kind of not wanting to compare things, but like, think about the ending of Sleepaway Camp.
Yeah. Right?
Oh, yeah.
The ending of Sleepaway Camp.
You don't forget that shit.
You might think that movie's crap right up until the ending, and then after that ending haunts your dreams for the rest of your life. Yeah. Because,
let's be honest, except for the cowboy hat that kid's wearing in that one scene, like, there's a lot of that movie, you're like, what the fuck? Yeah. Like, I don't remember every kill in Sleepaway Camp.
You remember that last 30 seconds, though.
I remember that fucking scene.
Yeah.
I remember that.
All you need is that 30 seconds of what the fuck just happened here, and that's it forever. And I mean, Sleepaway Camp is still, you know, you're still going to find people who are going to license Sleepaway Camp and make new sequels to it, you know, probably till the end of time. Just over that twist at the end. Just over that scene, which is even so, that scene is wildly inappropriate on so many levels. It's so wrong on so many levels. You're never gonna make it go away. It's never gonna go away because it's so effective, and the whole movie is just depends on that. And yeah, this needed something like that, you know, or it needed one character that was, you know, so entertaining to watch in some manner that it carried it through and gave it a center. But it just it doesn't go into the range of where it wasn't a chore for me to watch this, but I just wasn't and it's mercifully short. It could have been 2 hours long or something, and luckily it wasn't. But yeah, I was just like, at the end of it, I was like, wow, this is probably the most like unsatisfied I've been by one of our movies in a long time. Even the ones that I haven't, even the ones that I hate that have been on here are like eminently hateable and, you know, have something to grab onto, you know, and, you know, this just, yeah, it's in that, this bland middle ground.
Yeah. I mean,
yep.
What about the cat? Okay, I'm always happy to have the scene where somebody throws a cat from off screen at somebody.
That poor cat, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and I always feel bad for the cat, but I'm like, okay, good, we could check that off. But this movie doesn't even do what other movies do and at least either set up the cat or have the cat further out. That the cat was just there. That cat was brought in for the day, tossed, taken home, never to be seen again.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
we never see that poor kitty.
Yeah, I thought you were going to see the cat nailed up to a wall or something. That's usually what happens in something like this. I'm like, poor kitty. Who would do this to the poor kitty? And then the people start showing up. But nope, never followed through on the cat. Maybe that's what killed it for me.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm looking for reasons. Yeah, I'm looking for reasons, but
for reasons not to like it.
I have so few notes on this, and one of the prominent notes is "tossed cat, never see it again." And I wrote
"cat new to get."
And I wrote
because it's like I'm out.
I wrote "tossed cat" when I saw it, going, "Okay, check that off, tossed cat." And then the "never see it again" was at the end of the movie when I was because in the back of my mind I was waiting to see that cat again because I like cats. I want to see the cat again.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guarantee you the cat was like, I'm out! It's like, you know, this is a sinking ship. I'm off this. Where's that ferry?
That cat was pissed because all it gets paid in is kibble. And like, its owner's like, I got my $250 for the day as cat handler.
Anyway, so, if you want to see April Fool's Day, it is not on Prime Video. You got to pay for it there, which is fun. It's not on Prime Video.
People are going to be rushing to pay for this one, aren't they?
That's what I'm saying. You don't want to pay. You want to watch it free somewhere.
Yeah, so your best bet, if you want to see this, you can do what I did. We can watch it on Pluto, which is on their on-demand ad-supported. So it's not bad for the ads on Pluto. They'd go about every 10, 11 minutes, so you get a good chunk of it. You know, but it's worth. I mean, if you're, I don't know. I think my recommendation would be to watch it and see if maybe the satire works better for you. Maybe knowing the ending, like we all did going in, means that it works better for you. I mean, I'm you know, you guys know me. I'm always big on people making their own opinion. But if you can do it for free, that's probably the best way to do it, right?
That's your best option. I watched it on OK.ru, the Russian, video site. I think it's like a Facebook site, but you can upload video to it and just do a video search on. I don't know how safe it is. I have a VPN and all sorts of stuff on my computer. I don't know if I want to advise people to do it, but pretty much if you can't find a movie anywhere else, you can. Usually, especially like a horror movie or something like that, but even even a lot of movies that wouldn't turn up for free on YouTube or somewhere else will turn up on OK.ru. But I was a little worried because when I went to watch this, I was watching the news and they were like, the internet is down in Russia. Russia's taken down their internet. And I'm like, oh, shit. Am I going to have to find a download for this? But nope, I could still watch it.
So, but yeah. So again, if you, it's like Luke said, it's, you can see it for free. Great. You know, if anyone really wants my 4K, let me know. We can maybe work out a deal. Although knowing me, I'm a completist. It's got to go in the book because it's just another 80 slasher. It's on the list of 80 slashers.
Well, you got a deal on it, and you didn't have to hunt it down. Basically. Yeah, you did.
I know, but it's, you know, it's the thing. The one thing it does come with the disc of all the special features. And I was like, oh, cool. It doesn't have the ending. It just has all the people talking about like their career. I'm like, I don't really care about your career, buddy. It's just not what I want to hear, but it's okay. That's the special features.
I went on to do better movies than this. I swear to God, guys.
Yeah, I swear to God. So the crazy part is
just in the interest of completeness. If you've heard the name Danilo Bach, okay, Danilo Bach got an Academy Award nomination for best original screenplay. For Beverly Hills Cop in 1984. That is what they are best for.
Wow. Beverly Hills Cop got a nod for that? Man, that's been a late year. Nothing wrong with
that. I don't think we can say that nowadays where it's like the only five original movies in Hollywood all get best original screenplay because everything else is a remake, sequel, or reboot. But to be fair, they didn't win. They only got
still to get a nod. That's pretty good for Beverly Hills Cop. Is not a serious drama or anything. It's a comedy.
No, it is well written and
I agree.
But
the thing is, the Academy back then did not reward movies.
No,
just for actually being the correct.
For what it's worth, that is the only nomination for an Academy Award. Beverly Hills Cop got was that best original.
So
that
something had to acknowledge the amount of money it was making.
Because
Beverly Hills Cop was so huge, they had to acknowledge it in some way. Just how the bullshit Oscars work anyway, man.
Yeah, man.
Well, if that's the case,
should
then
throw
we know.
The Oscars in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and burn them all down, man.
So to close the loop, the 1984 Academy Award nominations for Best Original Screenplay were, in no particular order, Beverly Hills Cop, Broadway Danny Rose from
Woody Allen.
El Norte. Splash, and then the winner was Places in the Heart, written by Robert Benton. That is the the film is also directed by Robert Benton. That is with Sally Field.
That's
the one that takes place in the Great Depression.
I think that might have been You Like Me, You Really Like Me Oscars. I think that was Sally Field's big moment where we liked her. We really liked her.
Let's see.
Well, that's crazy that Splash was also put up for an Academy Award, too.
Jeez. That was my first date movie.
In a leading role. Yeah. Splash was your first date movie?
Yeah, I went on my first date to Splash and did the whole with Scott Gardner's cousin. Michelle.
Oh, yeah, we've heard this one.
Yeah, my arm fell asleep. The whole deal. Yeah, it was.
So,
and you are correct. Places in the Heart is when she won the Academy Awards. Sally Field did say, "You like me right now. You like me." And then, she also would go on to parody herself in a Charles Schwab.
Yes,
according to Wikipedia, which is always good.
But the thing is. You know, I mean, I guess that just the idea that like Beverly Hills Cop and Splash were both up for best original screenplay, which is really great because those are two
again, the movies are comedies, which is usually not always kind of recognized by the Academy, but be that as it may. I mean, it's not like the Best Picture nod went to a movie that was boring as fuck. Wait a minute. That was this year. It does have the best car chase scene of the year, though, I bet. If you watch nothing else, in the last, like, 20 minutes of that movie, there's a really cool car chase that's filmed really fucking well. But, oh, god damn. One day after, what it was,
yeah, the whole genre of comedies like Splash and Beverly Hills Cop is gone. Nobody writes movies like that. I mean, maybe there might be, I mean, there just was another Beverly Hills Cop, but it would have to be, you know, a sequel or something to that. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying is, I mean, you know, everything is like, all the, you know, like Luke said, there's no original ideas. Everything is kind of ripped off and stolen, whatever. And, you know, I mean, again, even if it's based off a book, at least then it's based, I mean, you could do original screenplay, but if that's an adapted screenplay, if it's from a book, you know, kind of thing. But I was just saying One Battle After Another was not even in my top 10 of movies. Anyway, that's another thing for another day. But yeah, April Fool's Day. And there's a remake, technically, the other one that's worse than this.
Yeah.
Like, I've never seen that one. I can only imagine how bad that must be because they're ripping off this. But actually, if they kill people in it, it actually might be better.
That's a twist.
What a twist. Oh, boy. But that one you can get for free.
Yeah, you should watch this one for free, too, somewhere.
Yeah.
It's
a free watch. Even if you have to wait till it's on USA or something.
Yeah. I don't know if they even put this out anymore. Yeah, the new remake of April Fool's Day.
I saw that. That was on YouTube for free, and I didn't even bother to watch that. I'm like, that's got to be so bad.
The cover is literally, looks like it's just done with, like, MS Paint. It's clearly just trying to cash in on like the whole, you know, faces on black backgrounds. That was a very big thing that Scream helped us get. But it's just like three nondescript pretty people on the cover, got a big Bowie knife. There's no like subtlety to it. It looks like the cover of a romance novel. If she wasn't holding a knife, you'd be like, now that's a knife.
Yeah. You what would kind think of sapphic delights await within?
Well, it was waiting. It looked like it was a total like Redbox type of release thing.
It does.
It's funny because the original cover or a variation of the original cover with the noose hair would have been ideal for a Redbox cover to it instead of just a generic Bowie knife or something like that. So. Yeah.
Yeah, but you couldn't just, you know, you could put the generic Bowie knife, you could just manufacture in whatever.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's just a photo, quick Photoshop job.
It's poorly Photoshopped.
Yeah. I learned my lesson trying to watch the remake of It's Alive on YouTube. I was going to skip this. Yeah. All right.
So. Yeah. Well, hey, you know what? They can't all be winners. But nope. As we say, well, why don't you watch, listener, and
you
let us know what you think. You make the call, freakvault@gmail.com, and you tell us why we're full of crap. And we actually are missing something. I'd love to be to hear some feedback on this one. So if you can check it out, give us a shout and let us know.
Yeah. Tell us we suck.
Now there's an ending.
visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled TWOTRUEFREAKS. Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks. If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of Two True Freaks.
Okay.
Yeah. Can.
Sure.
Well,
good to me.
What movie? What, any ideas on what movie I should say this is?
Well, let's see. Okay. Have we? Oh, why don't we do like? Why don't we do Psycho?
Okay.
Because we haven't covered Psycho.
Yes. Okay.
And Psycho is kind of a fake out movie anyway.
Yes. Because
they start with Janet Leigh, and you think Janet Leigh's going to be the star, and then boom, she's dead in Act 1.
And Psycho's one that people see and go like, ooh, that's a little off the beaten trail, but ooh, it's Psycho. Yes, excellent.